get into the content of it actually. 13 verses, yet they're power-punching verses. As we looked over, if you have your notes, remember we looked through the front side 2 weeks ago and came down to the theme that love and truth, or truth and love, are met together, joined together. They actually work together, function together. One can't actually work well as far as ministry goes without the other. You need both of them. And that's really what is being portrayed here. So as we turn over to the back side of the notes then, notice here we're going to read every verse, all right? So there's only 13 of them, and they are really, like I said, full of truth for us. So verses 1 through 3 then, I call that the ground. There's your blank. The ground of our fellowship is truth. What is the foundation? And the reason I use ground is because you'll see they're all G words here, okay? The ground of our fellowship is truth. Now, it goes along with what I tried to share with you earlier this evening about culture. The reality is we can have no connection unless we're connected about something that's stable. Is there nothing more stable than the Word of God and Christ Himself, right? That's what binds us together. So verses 1 through 3, the elder unto the elect lady, and remember we saw that that's referring to a church and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. In a sense, fellow churches have noticed this church, and they love this church because it's being faithful to the truth and loves the truth as they do. He loves them in truth for the truth's sake, verse 2, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Does that sound familiar? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, here's the same writer giving us an amazing picture. So when we're talking about truth, it's not just an ideology. It's not simply a book, though it is that. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. He dwells in us. He is with us forever. You cannot disconnect Christ and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no disconnect. The only reason we have truth is because we have Christ. We have God. The only reason we have life is because we have Christ. We have God. Does that make sense? Okay. So we have this unique joy that truth is wrapped up in Christ and He is with us. What joy. Verse 3, grace be unto you, or grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I'm glad that the truth, Jesus Christ, loved me enough that He died for me. Upholding the truth that a sinner can't go to heaven, can't have a relationship with God, but upholding the truth that they can be redeemed. All of that's wrapped up in Christ. Amazing thing. So the ground of our fellowship is truth. What connects us here, and again, this is written to a church, what connects us here is truth. I know that we speak often of our fellowship, loving one another, but the way that happens is because we uphold and hold dear, each of us, truth. So I can look past some of the idiosyncrasies or faults of people, and you can look past mine, because we hold dear, we have something we have in common, and that's God's truth. Okay. Secondly, verses 4 to 6, the guides of our fellowship is truth. What guides our love for one another? It's not our emotions. It's not whether I like you or not. It's truth. That's what guides us. Now, verse 6 here is probably the key verse. So let's read verses 4 to 6, and then I'll just make some comments on verse 6. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which is from the beginning, that we love one another. This is not a new commandment. It's something, this is a truth that I've already told you. Let's keep loving one another. Well, how do I do that? Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Okay. All right. You see, verse 6 gives us the clue, the idea that love is what I call hemmed in or defined within the parameters of God's truth. If we obey what has been commanded by God, especially as it deals with my relationship with you, guess what happens? I'm living in love. Love is obedience to God's command as far as my relationship towards you is. Does that make sense? God has given me in His Word what I need to know about how to relate to you and how you should relate with me. How we get along. Those are truths that we live by. The emotion of love that the world loves to talk about. The reality is for the Christian, that emotion is an outgrowth of our obedience to God's commands. Not the cause for our obedience to His commands. Catch that? That's, we've got to make sure that it's the right direction. Our love is the outgrowth of our obedience to His commands. I'm to love you. I'm to treat you with kindness. I'm to forgive you of your sin. All those things. All right, make sense? I'm to live peaceably with all men. As much as is me in, as much as in me is. Live peaceably. Right? Work it out. Figure it out. All right? All those are commands. It's within those parameters, therefore I love. Love is not the... I don't get along with you because I just love you. All right? That emotion will dry up. The moment you do something that bothers me or offends me, love is done. If that's where it's coming from. It's only as I obey God's truth and then I live out that I really honestly... And in fact, it's a love that the world has no clue about. They don't understand it because they don't have Christ, who is truth and who is love. In fact, we saw in the previous book in 1 John, God is love. All right, He is the definition of it. So, really important for us to see that. And this is critical for us to teach. Here's some practical application of this. And I'm going to park. I'll stop here tonight and we'll finish up the next two points next week. But how does this work out? A number of ways to apply it. Let's start with children. You get along with your sister or your brother because... You're supposed to. Because that is a demonstration that I love you. I don't get along because I love you, because right now that kid doesn't love his sister or his brother. Okay? No, I do right because it's the right thing to do. So I learn how to get along, how to share, how to forgive, how to say nice words and hold my tongue when I want to blast it out against them. Now, those same principles apply to us, don't they? Now, here's another huge thing. When you come to marriage, and our culture teaches us, you fall in love, and you live happily ever after. Well, that's a fantasy. The whole thing is. In reality to Scripture, what is the reality? We, with wisdom and discernment, find a mate. Okay? Please forgive me, but I think God has given me a unique perspective because I've had two wives. And the reality is, and I remember one of my teachers really it was E.R. Jordan, chief. Remember I talking about it? And he when he got Scripture, he got the whole thing. And when he picked his wife, he'll tell the story and it makes you laugh. He figured, this gal is godly, she's got all the godly character, I'm going to marry her. I'll learn to love her later. And it's really funny because, it was really funny to me because he was shorter than me. He was two of me. He was Popeye. He was just a massive man. But his wife was, I think, almost 6 foot. They didn't look like they belonged together at first glance. And yet, not that a guy has to be always taller than his wife, all right? Please, don't take it that way. But they didn't look like they fit, and yet you got to know them, and they fit beautifully. And he will admit, and she would admit, yeah, it took us a while to love each other. But how did that happen? Because, why was their life stable? Because they chose to obey truth. I think when it comes to marriage, it's really, really important that we make wise choices, not simply emotional choices. We need to teach our younger generation because our younger generation is put in front of them all the time, this whole love thing. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't love our mates. No, we should absolutely love them. We should love them as husbands, as Christ loved the church. But that's an outgrowth of truth. Back to my illustration with my two wives. Deb and Abby are very different people. There's some uniqueness that are similar, but they're very different. And maybe you could say, well, you were just desperate. You just wanted somebody. Well, maybe that's a little bit of the truth. But she was godly. And God has helped me love her, I think, even better than I love Deb. Can I put it that way? Better in the sense that I've been, I think, hopefully a better husband for her than I was for Deb. Shame on me. And that's really, so you can work personalities out when it's based on truth. If it's based on emotion and love, well, then everything falls apart. Marriages should be based on truth, on God's word. I've been given a mate as a gift from the Lord. Now we can work this out. And folks, you're sitting here tonight, you worked it out. And the reality is you're continuing to work it out. Keep it up, all right? Keep it up. It doesn't stop until we get to glory, and then it's done, okay? All right? But teach the next generation, please, please, please. They don't have any role models but you. That is such a burning need in our lives. You are the role models. Please set the right example. Don't give them the fluff. Please give them the truth of God's word. They need it. So love is always the outgrowth of truth. It's not the source. It's the result. And so let us let truth even affect. So again, practical applications in so many ways. That's one that's maybe dear to my heart at this moment, just because I see I'm burdened for it. I don't want our children here to grow up and end up in ruin in their homes. So they've got to be based on truth. Make a wise choice. Moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, friends, teachers, help them. Be a blessing to them. Okay. Well, let's close there for tonight. So the ground of truth or ground of fellowship is truth. The guides of our fellowship is truth, not love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can work within truth to love one another. And so, Lord, help us to cherish truth and obey your commands. Verse 6, very clear. How do I love one another? Obey God's commands. Lord, help me to do that. Help each of us to do that. And help us to teach others to do that too. Thank you for the stability that truth gives us. May we live by it in your name. Amen. Well, trust you have a good rest of the week. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday.